Now, when we talk about rev heads, we usually think of men. And the same goes for owners of classic cars. It's mainly blokes who drive, men polish, idealise, and show off their retro wheels. But our next guest has driven straight through this glass ceiling. Tracy Walker runs Old Girls on the Road, a Brisbane-based group of women who own and drive classic cars, what they define as cars built before the mid-1980s. The group is part of a new exhibition about cars called Driven, which is on at the State Library of Queensland. I caught up with Tracy in the week. Tracy Walker, welcome to Saturday Extra.
Good morning.
Old Girls on the Road. I love the name. I love the idea. Tell me how you started this group.
In late 2016, I realised that my car, which was a 1967 Mark II Cortina, was going to be turning 50 in the next year. So I decided I'd have a party for her. And I went about trying to find people with cars that were 50 as well or whatever. In the end, I just tried to get people interested in coming along to the party, which turned out to be mostly women interested in that sort of thing. And when we all got together and we had a party with champagne and a band and all that sort of thing, a lot of them gave me the feedback that it was really great to meet with other women that had classic cars. So it morphed into a ladies group from there.
Fantastic. Now, as soon as you said the words Ford Cortina, I started to get nostalgic. I started to get a little emotional. One of our first family cars was a Ford Cortina. It was bright, luminous yellow. And I'm thinking, well, that's a sort of bloke reaction. But what you're saying is that, you know, women have this emotional connection with cars as well.
Oh, definitely. In fact, possibly more so, dare I suggest.
Why? That's interesting.
I guess that's just the nature of women, really. I don't know. They just fall in love with their cars, and my group's sort of more so centred around getting out on the road and driving the cars, and a lot of them just love doing that, you know, getting on the road and driving.
Yeah, I'm fascinated where this love of cars actually came from. How did that love affair begin? How was it consummated?
Look, I think my first boyfriend in my teenage years was a mechanic, and he was a bit of a Ford fanatic. And many a weekend I spent in his workshop, and many a weekend I spent going for drives, little road trips and that sort of thing. I think that's really where the love of cars and more so the love of road trips came about.
And tell me about the sort of membership of the group. What sort of demographic are we talking? What sort of age group are we talking?
Look, on average, we're probably about 40 to 60. And I think that's because around those ages, women start to get a bit more time to themselves and a little bit of money to be able to afford, you know, a car that they've probably hankered over for years and years. But we do have younger women in their 20s, and we actually go on one of the runs that I organise tomorrow, and I've got a 90-year-old coming with us on that run in her little Morris Minor.
Oh, the Morris Minor. I saw that on the website. That was brilliant. I saw a Mini Cooper. There are so many brilliant cars on it. And you have what I call these girly runs, don't you?
Yes.
Talk us through the girly run.
So I organise about five of those a year. And we generally, we meet at my place, which is sort of in Brisbane. Darrow is kind of a bit like the gateway to the west. And because I don't like driving on big highways with lots of traffic, we tend to head out west for a lot of our runs. So we go to either a little town pub and have a counter lunch, or we head out somewhere and have a picnic, and then we head home.
Old Girls on the Road, in the most literal sense of all. And you should tell us where that name actually came from, because the Old Girls, as I understand it, isn't referring to the membership, is it?
No, it's a bit of a play on words. I like playing with words. But the Old Girls, a lot of even the guys call their cars Old Girls. So I thought it was a good double meaning there to have the Old Girls in the title. And I wanted to be a bit clear that we were more about getting out on the road rather than sort of turning up to car shows and that sort of thing. So Old Girls on the Road came about.
And let's talk about what happens when you do turn up at these car shows. Because, you know, again, the world of classic cars is a kind of fraternity, isn't it? It's a kind of male fraternity.
Yeah, well, look, I've done a bit of research. I do it every couple of years. I get in touch with Main Roads and they give me some stats. And really about 88 in Queensland, this is 88% of classic cars are owned by men. So we're a bit of a minority. I personally don't go to car shows, but quite a lot of the women in the group do. They're met pretty civilly and nicely and that sort of thing. I mean, occasionally we come across a bit of a smart aleck or whatever, but we've decided that they're just smart alecks with men or women, you know. So it's a pretty friendly scene all round.
You don't get these sort of rev heads manning the ramparts of this sort of male bastion that is the classical car world.
Well, they're there, but I certainly don't encounter that too much. But on the road, you know, if we're doing one of our girly runs, we may pass a lot of these other cars. Often, you know, a lot of the cars in Brisbane head out west because the roads are really quite good and interesting. And you usually get a wave from all them, but I'm not sure if there's a few heads turning when they see, oh, woman, woman, woman.
I noticed on your website you've got a kind of a kind of calendar girl kind of feel to it. You have a sort of car of the month, a Ms. January, Ms. February. Look, tell us about some of the sort of pinup, the car pinups on your website.
I like to say that they're real women with unreal cars. So I don't encourage them to go and get hair and makeup or anything like that. I just get them to feel comfortable in posing. But I've done a calendar every year since I started the group, except for the COVID years. And I love doing that. I'm actually a bit of a creative and I love photography and I love going for drives and finding, you know, a nice location where I could take a photo. So, you know, I haven't struggled for 12 women in my local area over the last, I think, I'm up to six calendars now. Mm. I just go and meet them somewhere and we take a few photos and have a bit of a chat. The first calendar I did, it was combined in with doing a YouTube series. So I produced 13 episodes and it was the interviews with each of the ladies that appeared in the calendar that year.
I've seen your YouTube channel. It's absolutely fantastic. Old Girls on the Road. The website is really worth looking at. Just finally, I mean, is there a difference between the sort of the cars that your members, your female members tend to revere and the blokes revere?
Maybe a tiny bit. The cars that are in our group range from anything from a Mini Miner through to the lovely Michelle, who's been on nearly every run that we've had. She's got a 59 matte black Chevy Impala. Hmm. They may tend to be the smaller type of cars, like your Escorts or my Ford Cortina, but that doesn't stop women with great big, you know, V8 Falcon Utes and that sort of thing being involved as well. The thing that I love about the group is that there is really absolutely no judgment about what car you're driving. We've never had any of that kind of ego come into the group. They're just a great, fun, positive lot of women to get together with every couple of months.
Oh, it just sounds absolutely fantastic. It sounds a bit like Thelma and Louise. Is that your favourite movie?
Yes, it's a good one.
Without the criminality, obviously.
Yes, yes.
Tracy Walker from Old Girls on the Road. It has been fantastic to talk to you and keep on driving.
Yes, keep on it.
Fantastic. And that exhibition, Driven, is on at the State Library of Queensland until the 8th of February. You are texting us with your favourite classic cars. A 1967 Cortina was my first car too. Bought in 1968 when I taught in Broken Hill. I've driven it all over the outback, New South Wales and South Australia. My Subaru Liberty Sport is not a classic, but I love it. Now to some parish notices. We wanted to pass on our congratulations to the new Australian of the Year, Catherine Bennell-Pegg, who we had on the programme last year. She's the first astronaut trained under the Australian flag and is space ready and hoping soon to get a ride.
the reasons I wanted to be an astronaut definitely evolved as I grew up. So it started from that awe and curiosity. And then as I became a teenager, it was about, you know, a fascination with science, wanting to help make concrete steps forward in human knowledge. And now, you know, as an adult, having been a space engineer for about 15 years, it's also because I know how important space is for humanity. But as a teenager, I remember in year eight, my school being like, everyone write down three things you want to be when you grow up. And I just wrote down astronaut. And I refused to write anything else because what greater adventure could there be?
That was Catherine Bennell-Pegg, the latest Australian of the Year. Now, staying with remarkable women, with a great spirit of adventure and exploration, we wanted to belatedly mark the death of a brilliant academic, Professor Emma Johnston, who was a world-renowned expert in marine ecology, a great protector of the Australian environment, and someone who only recently had become the Vice-Chancellor of the University of Melbourne. Emma died over the summer break at the age of just 52. Last year, we did a series on the crisis facing Australian higher education, a subject we'll return to in 2026. And one of the people that we really wanted to talk to was Emma Johnston, not least because she was seen by so many colleagues as a leader of our age. What a loss. Now, last week we had a brief flirtation with a new start time, but we have reverted back to our normal time after the 7 o'clock news. Set your alarms. Don't miss that first half hour. And judging by the text line, that has made you happy. Thank goodness you're back to the normal time, says Julie. Hooray, says Deb. Well, there's a lot to come after the 8 o'clock news as well, a preview of the return of Parliament with Charles Croucher, the political editor of Nine News, and the co-founder of the hugely successful news website, The Daily Oz. He'll be along as well.